Hey, you want to talk about the Iron Bowl?
Maybe later.
Yeah, not right away. There's no rush.
We have to ease into this.
It's still going to be there.
That's true. It's never really going away. So I thought we would continue a conversation that had started on Twitter, where I had asked, what is the restaurant where you see the most people eating alone? And like the most sad, how's this, the most sad people eating alone? And there were a lot of votes for several restaurants. But before I disclose the top ones, what are your nominations for the places where you see the most sad people eating alone in restaurants?
I mean, can Arby's count?
Arby's was one of the first ones mentioned.
Okay, because Arby's has a lot of sad people who I think are on their lunch break but don't want anybody else to know that they're eating at Arby's.
Is that a function of shame because nobody wants to admit that they love oversalted horse meat, so they're just going to – they're all – like everybody goes to Arby's alone.
You know, I think what it is a function of the brain and the body are confused because I think there's a notable subset of people that go to Arby's for lunch because they think that's the healthy choice.
Yeah.
Like they're not having a burger, they're not having KFC, they're having roast beef, and that's kind of – healthy.
Well, the thing about Arby's is it's always near a Burger King or a McDonald's or something like that, and that's where you're going to see the families. Whereas
right.
the individuals are going to turn up their noses and head to the place without the playground.
Right. The dad who just wants his kids to give him one last chance.
I bet Arby's had a test pilot program for playgrounds, and a fatality resulted. Like that just seems to be something that would happen to Arby's, right? Like. Yeah, they had
Arby's.
A playground, and then that kid died.
Oh, shouldn't have covered the slide in au jus.
Now, there's an Arby's around here that has an actual tree growing inside of it.
Wait, what?
Wait.
Like, are you saying there's an Arby's biodome?
Yes.
And why doesn't Ryan live there?
It's near my alma mater. I believe it is like a self-sustaining Arby's, like, you know, it produces its own oxygen and all that. If there's ever any sort of an epidemic, I'll probably head there and try to seal it down.
Like, damn, first you get the Atlanta Braves, now you got an Arby's biodome? Cobb County is an amazing place, Jason.
Actually, I prefer to call it the Arbology.
You can call it that because it's science.
Exactly.
No, there's no oxygen in this restaurant, and yet everyone's living. It's a new gas based exclusively on beef.
Now, my recommendation is one that we were actually talking about before, which I did agree with, would be Panera Bread, because you're going to see solo people in there, just no person within three tables of another person, because everyone's kind of just there to work and eat like the $9 egg sandwich. And they're so sprawling and huge, and I don't even know how they stay in business. They take up so much space, but there's just two tables worth of buffer between any two people, no eye contact whatsoever. And the counters are like 8 feet tall. You have to reach over them to get your food. It's amazing. It's a great experience.
It's a blogger's dream. I always think that Panera is pretty much where your classy, still dedicated to life as we know it, hasn't totally given up on people, cat person goes. That's where they go. Because the entire restaurant is so empty because it's designed so that at any point you feel like you're alone, even if there's somebody within inches of you.
Yeah, just so many walls and partitions and all sorts of obstruction. It's kind of like an obstacle course, and you get to just carve out your own nook, and you could probably live there if you really wanted to.
It's like Legends of the Shut-In's Temple.
Yes, with croissants.
Okay.
It's a labyrinth of soup.
It's no Let Us Surprise You. Yeah, that's a place so vile. I've never been in it because I'm not going to eat at any place called Let Us Surprise You. The question that the answer I had for this, my initial thinking was Panera because it's designed to be alone. But But I don't think that's the saddest or most apt answer. Neither did the people answering this question. We had a lot of suggestions for the following, which we can discuss. One, Waffle House.
Incorrect.
No, absolutely not. You're never alone at Waffle House.
That was my, you know.
Even if you want to be, you're not.
No matter how hard you try, you will be ranted at by, you know, a 25-year-old mother with gold teeth, with, you know, by a band of 65-year-old men, by, you know, you are never less alone than you are at Waffle House.
Yeah, most people don't understand that the Waffle House, you are really never alone. And as I have said, when you're drunk, you're really never alone, because there might as well not be a partition between you, the kitchen. It's all one big playground for you to just stumble over and make a fool of yourself. So you're not alone at the Waffle House. I would say that, you know, because and I will put it this way. You're part of the Waffle House family.
It's blessed. The opposite. Whereas Panera is trying to create that sense of isolation and you're in public, but you're not. Waffle House is very much like, let's everybody keep their hands where we can see them. It's very clearly whoever designed Waffle House, like, all right, this is a place where people with weapons and drugs are going to come, and we want to know that that's going to happen before it goes down so we can dive behind the counter.
I know this. Have you ever heard any tales of a Waffle House employee beating some ass when they have to? It always involves flying across the restaurant, which you can do in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's sort of, they're kind of designed for that.
Yeah.
Like designed for accessibility.
Like
not only does the cook, who's also a waiter, who's also a janitor, who's also the manager and so forth, have the access to dive over a counter to break up a scuffle or whatever, you can also reach back and grab yourself, you know, some more condiments if you need them. You're your own waiter.
Or a ladle full of grease for that fight, you know, take out an assailant. I'm telling you, this place, Waffle House, the very design of the place has been honed by up to like 70 years of hard redneck lessons.
You know what else Waffle House is like? It's like somebody wanted to build a restaurant but didn't have enough Legos to sort of finish it. And was just sort of like, it's all there. Screw it.
It's got a cash register, a toilet, and a place to burn stuff.
Yeah, the bathroom is out in the open right next to the jukebox, but whatever, people will get around it.
Would anyone notice if that were the case? I don't think anyone would at a Waffle House, you know. They'd be sitting there with the Lego construction set going, man, I need a three-piece and a little rocket thruster piece to finish this. Ah, screw it.
I didn't finish the roof. Oh, well.
It'll be fine.
Just don't sit there.
So Waffle House, we've rejected. Applebee's. I think this is an excellent suggestion because of something Jason told us in the pre-show.
Well, learned this.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just disqualify this. Let's say this. we're just going to accept that it's a lonely place, okay? Just as a given. You're going to go ahead and give the kill shot.
Okay, sorry. I just learned just before we came on here that Applebee's is apparently replacing its waiters with tablets at tables, like tablet computers. I don't know if they're doing this at every restaurant, but we're talking about a place where you don't even talk to a cashier or anything. You just go in and push a button and eventually leave.
Can I say something before we get into how sad that is? Do you know how filthy those tablets are going to get after about a week of Jack Daniel's sauce being slathered all over?
So much Bacon-A's.
The other question, too, is this. How many times are you going to sit in a booth at Applebee's and there will be this sad, sawed-off, frayed piece of cable that once held the freshly stolen tablet?
No, they won't. Somebody's going to try to use a chicken nugget as a stylus on one.
You don't know that a chick, by the way, don't correct yourself. You don't know that a chicken nugget isn't actually on the menu.
I'm pretty sure that's one of their marquee items.
Really tiny print down at the bottom of the menu. Nugget indicates something made of a meat, which is neither horse, cow, sheep, goat, chicken, or octopus. Like, what?
Warning, may contain wood chips.
Definitely contains wood chips.
Those places like Applebee's, it seems like once a month it's like a contest to come up with the most convoluted food item. Like it's now at Applebee's, the, you know, random adjective, random noun, chicken popper.
It's Mad Libs food.
Well, it's this.
The bacon Fruit Loops chicken popper.
Well, the sneaky trick to those, having as a veteran of Bennigan's and the son of and the son of somebody who once ran O'Charley's, I will tell you the secret of those.
Wow.
Okay? Yeah,
O'Charley's is pretty good. I'll ride for O'Charley's.
Yeah, O'Charley's
among
is,
all those places.
O'Charley's is decent. O'Charley's is not where you go to be alone. It is where you go to pick up underage girls and buy them drinks. Apparently, this was a serious problem at a lot of O'Charley's. Huh. But good to know. The thing that they do with those is it's pretty much if you have seven appetizers, you go, permutation math. I can take those seven appetizers and how many different, you know, it's like a very simple algebra 2 question where they're like, how many different variations of seven things can you have if you combine them with the same seven things? So if you have the cheese stick and the bacon topped tato skin, right?
Well, the staples.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you do? Oh, well, obviously I take that and I make the tato skin raft, right? Which is just, or the tato skin pontoon boat, right? They'd be like, cheesy pontoon boats. What do you do? They just take toothpicks and ram them together so it looks like the tato skin is the boat atop these two cheesy pontoons.
Sponsored by Life of Pie.
Yes, exactly. Which that's actually how they think, right? They're like, can we just put dip on this thing and call it an item? Yes. No training necessary. That's how they do it. It's pretty much like BuzzFeed food. I didn't say that out loud.
I'm excited for when they start making everything boneless, even things that didn't have bones in them originally. Just gonna be like boneless mozzarella sticks. Be like, oh, boneless now.
It's good. When they start putting bones in things.
Okay. Yeah, extra bone mac and cheese.
You're like, we're like when we're just defying nature altogether. When we're like, yes, we put bones in a shark.
Or they just give you like the chicken wing bone.
What is a dry aged apple fritter?
Yeah.
Do I want that? I do want that.
I would go ahead and also and do this. We have a couple of other suggestions for the most desperate places to eat. We have somebody mentioned a Bob Evans. Now I gotta be straight with you. I'm not all that familiar with Bob Evans because I believe this is like an upper north slash Midwestern phenomenon. Am I correct?
Yes, it's kind of Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan-ish.
No, we definitely have
family prone. I've been to a few. They're very family heavy. So
are they very heavy? Are they very heavy? Family heavy.
When I say heavy, I mean heavy.
Okay. I know for a fact there's Bob Evans in Tampa. There's one by Gaither High School, or there used to be at least, nobody famous ever went. Oh wait, Jen Sterger went there. So.
Okay, you see, though, that's a pretty impressive Tampa poll.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I'm about to blow this out of the water because I know where a Bob Evans was in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're not ready for this.
The cousin Tampa doesn't talk to anymore.
Oh, no. And in that family, this is the black sheep of the family nobody talks to, okay? And that would be Pinellas Park. Park, Florida. We did do a bit of research on this. Listed under a notable residents of Pinellas Park on Wikipedia. Ryan, you found one.
Yeah. I'm just going to come out and say it. Terry Schiavo. It does emphasize subject of the Terry Schiavo case, in case you're thinking it's the other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, listed as a notable resident of Pinellas Park.
She probably still is.
Yeah, well, she's probably there in
spirit.
In spirit. No, hanging out at the Bob Evans.
I feel like Terry Schiavo at Bob
Evans. Just ordering some biscuits.
Terry Schiavo at Bob Evans is the plot of some like Christian remake of Weekend at Bernie's.
And you know who'd fund that? The residents of Pinellas Park, Florida. And be all over that. So... Bob Evans, we've accepted that. Somebody said Hooters, and I'm going to tell you this. Hooters, you're not going to be alone technically because the staff is going to be there. And the staff at Hooters, really well trained. They're probably not going to let you feel too lonely.
That place is depressing.
Now, depressing in a different way, yes, okay? But technically, you won't be that alone. Somebody will talk to you
at
one point.
Okay, so in literal terms of, like, if you fall on the floor, there will be someone there to see you do it and maybe call an ambulance, like,
in
those
terms.
I want
you to think about this. Now that we've put, tablets in an Applebee's, how long could your dead corpse lay on the floor before anyone noticed? It's going to be a while.
Yeah, that's a concern. Might want to put in cameras.
I do like that Applebee's is like, hey,
maybe
you know,
they put in a Roomba.
Applebee's like,
should
Wally had a lot of good
Roomba
ideas
at Applebee's to go around and make sure there are no bodies.
Yeah, now there, I think there's a few cheating answers. I think fast food's kind of a cheating answer because if you're on the road, you're going to eat alone at a fast food restaurant. Now, I know we mentioned Arby's. Arby's to me is not fast food. It's mid-tempo. It's adult contemporary food.
John Cicada of food.
The John Cicada of foods, right? I think also it kind of...
I apologize if John Cicada is listening.
It is cheating. Jeb Lund mentioned this answer. He mentioned Luby's and or any kind of pensioner's restaurant. I don't know.
Piccadilly.
That's just using, like, to me, it's cheating if you use death, right? Like, that's the reason. Death and mortality. That's the reason you go to Luby's. And I think that's cheating as well. I think you need someplace whose despondency and aloneness is just strictly its own product.
Yeah, that's fair. Luby's combines everything that's bad about a school cafeteria and everything that's bad about a restaurant, and nothing that's good about either of them. It's just as expensive as a restaurant, and it's just as shitty as a school cafeteria.
That sounds like a successful American company to me.
Hey, they're still around, I think. I don't know.
Do we have any closing recommendations? I will throw in a cursory nomination if we're discussing truly, truly sad restaurants. I will throw one in for Shoney's.
I was just about to say that. I was going to say either Shoney's or Denny's.
Okay, you can take Denny's. I'm going to tell you why for Shoney's, because there is that breakfast bar, and if you've ever seen a person really go there and wreck the breakfast bar alone, it is like the video for one of the mopier Radiohead songs. It's like the saddest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, and the definitive Shoney's meal to me is that just watery spaghetti. I'm just going to say we ate Shoney's a lot when I was a kid, but if a person was to go there in the year 2013, I just cannot imagine anyone going along with them.
Yeah. Ryan, you have a final?
Yeah, I'll throw one more in. I'll throw Steak and Shake in there because it's not exactly fast food, and there are only two types – there are only two types of tables at Steak and Shake. There's group of high school / early college friends that are there at 2 in the morning sharing cheese fries or something, having a good time. And then there's guy who's just in the Steak and Shake, maybe not even ordering anything.
Yeah, and because usually Steak and Shakes are more than 500 feet from a school.
Right.
Now, I feel like Steak and Shake, at least here, that was sort of a for the 17-year-olds, that was sort of a place to go and gather. Is that not the case in your parts of the world?
No, I know what he's thinking of. Now, you see, what Ryan is thinking of is the one in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah.
Which was honestly, like, one of the saddest places ever. It was terrifying. It was, I went there once and there was a guy who said he was a dentist who none of who asked me, no lie, we were sitting there both eating at the bar because it was a sad and alone time in my life. We were both sitting there at the bar and he goes, yeah. Hey, listen, I'm a dental student. You want to come with me and let me look at your teeth? And I said, no. And after that, there was about 15, 20 minutes of horrendous silence because you know who gets emotionally hurt when you turn them down? Serial killers.
Oh, yeah.
The rejection is palpable, and it makes everything awkward for everyone.
Now, can I give one final answer on my part?
Sure.
I'm going to go with a Pizza Hut in the year 2013.
Ooh.
Because as growing up, you know, they had the salad bar, the pizza bar, the arcade, you know, the Pepsi in a big red cup, and all that stuff. I feel like we probably all spent lots of times in Pizza Huts as kids, but now I cannot fathom why anyone would ever set foot inside of a Pizza Hut.
Oh, it's turned. It really is. It's like, it's basically our generation's you know, you can't go home again. Because you walk into a Pizza Hut and every happy 6 or 7 year old memory has dissolved in this shabby, destroyed world that is the inside of a Pizza Hut in 2013.
I forget where I heard this, but until just recently, Pizza Hut was the world's number one purchaser of kale.
which they used as garnish on the salad bar and didn't even eat.
The salad bar. Good. Yeah. Ain't nobody trying to eat that shit.
Yeah.
I agree with that, by the way. Pizza Hut was using it correctly. Kale chips are delicious. Fuck you. They're not delicious. They're kale chips.
Sponsored by Arby's.
Zaps don't make no kale chips.
Hey, you want to talk about the Iron Bowl?
I guess we're up to it.
You know, get 20 minutes into the old shutdown full cast here. So I think we're out of hyperbole. I would like to get into the real truth about the game, i.e., why Nick Saban let that happen.
Let it happen. He made it happen. He threw that game.
You think so?
Yeah. He's tired of these spoiled Alabama fans. He wants a little leverage so that he can get himself out of that situation if he wants to, without anybody feeling like he abandoned the program.
Now, go on. You have more conspiracies. Go ahead.
Yeah, he had heavy money on Auburn, winning outright.
I think this is a compelling theory because, first of all, Nick Saban's not going to let that happen. Second, I happen to think he thought A.J. McCarron was a little big in his britches because we actually knew the name of Alabama's quarterback. I think maybe a week before he's like, he's going to get drafted? He's going to be drafted in like the second round? Oh, no, this is terrible. This is the worst. This is un-American. Wanted to take him down a peg.
I mean, somebody will still draft him in the second round because the NFL is stupid as hell, but...
Yes.
Well, what about once Gus Malzahn leaves to take the Texas job? You think Nick Saban did this so he could take over at Auburn?
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking this. And by the way, this whole plan has already come into power. If you want to know how Alabama's just set to destroy the rest of the SEC, first of all, making sure Will Muschamp got hired. A Saban hire at Florida. Destroy Florida. Okay, you following me?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. So he made that happen, right? Two, he's made USC, made sure that they're going to go ahead and continue their kind of 8-5-ish mediocrity by installing Steve Sarkisian there, thus eliminating the threat from the Northwest at the University of Washington, who will probably make a serious mistake and, I don't know, hire Dennis Franchione or something. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you just heard it, Washington fan, and probably had a stroke. Congratulations. Additionally, he's made sure that he's going to nullify that threat by, yes, getting Gus Malzahn hired at Texas after one hot year in Auburn. Because as Pete Tamble, no Nick Saban agent, said, who's ever ended well at Auburn? Just a place that turns coaches over at an outrageous rate, mind you, like only 5 in the last 20 years or whatever. But still, don't let facts get in the way of the conspiracy. Nick Saban never has, and look at how successful he is.
That's not technically true. There were 7 different Tommy Tubervilles. He's like a really weird Doctor Who.
He's like that Bob Dylan movie where like 8 people played him. Right?
Yeah, no, Cate Blanchett was excellent as Tommy Tuberville.
She was really good in 2008.
I want you to name the different Tommy Tubervilles here, by the way. Leather jacket Tuberville.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's
spiky hair Tuberville.
There's Undertaker Tommy Tuberville.
That's right.
Already in a pine box.
Mm-hmm. There's dye job Tommy Tuberville, sort of the fresh reddish blonde dye job he got. There's golfing Tommy Tuberville, totally different. Never coached a single game, only plays golf. And I think additionally, there's the groomed Tommy Tuberville. You can recognize him because his pleated khakis, about 3 inches higher than the normal Tubervilles.
And he has no eyes.
Yeah, well, that's
also that.
He has them in his palms.
Look closely.
He has them in his palms.
but first, check the khakis.
Yeah, but first check the khakis, and then if your soul can take it, look him directly in the eyes. I think, and now, who's the only other serious threats in the SEC? Georgia, well, Mark Richt, he's a good man. You can keep him around as long as you get those injuries going, because Todd Grantham, just a natural malefactor, just straining ACLs with his intensity. And then Les Miles, we really don't have to do anything with Les Miles. You can just keep him there. That's the thing. Sometimes the smartest tactician, I'm pretty sure Sun Tzu says this, it does nothing. And with LSU, you just sit back, wait, let Les Miles do whatever he's going to do to himself. Give him a game every now and then just so it doesn't look like the fix is in.
Yeah. Les Miles is the kind of guy who's like, I'm going to build a brick oven in my backyard and then burns the whole property down.
Don't have to do a thing. You wanted that lot next door? Got a house on it? Not for long. Les Miles, hey, you going to roof that yourself, Les? Yeah, sure. What could go wrong with hot tar and smoking on a sunny day? That's Les Miles.
And if he does burn your house down, we'll burn his house down too. So everything works out fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, all going to work out because guess who's getting back in that championship game? Oh, it's Alabama.
It's going to happen.
God damn it.
One way or another, it's going to happen.
Just get ready.
I apologize for my Spartans opening the door for Alabama. It's going to happen.
I am excited about Florida State fans to pretend like they're okay with that. Because they were a little too happy that Alabama, given that they didn't need Alabama to lose to get into the national championship, there was a lot of joy that they weren't going to play that Alabama team.
Notice, by the way, the confused, subdued, and irrationally happy pattern of reactions from Florida State fans on Saturday night. It was hilarious. They didn't quite know what to do. They're like, wait. Does that mean do we face them? Okay, is that good?
Are we out?
Are we out? Are we in? Oh, wait. Do we look like cowards if we say we're happy not to face them? it's been a while since Florida State's been good at things. So they're really sort of relearning all of this, right?
And sort of adapting like 1994, 92, 98 ways of thinking to like, you know, the modern Twitter age where every thought is just immediately broadcast to the universe. You know, yeah. So all that stuff's happening in real time.
I mean, it's difficult for them, but I commend them. The learning curve for them is always steep. The admission standards to being an FSU fan, since you are all people who failed the Alabama fan test and were rejected for application. And oh, what a low bar that is. Will you kill for a football game? Well,
not quite.
Not quite. I mean, I'll wound.
But I'll kidnap. Kill.
Yeah. Will you kidnap? Will you maim a tree and poison groundwater?
I will tax evade.
I'll like sideswipe a cop.
Why are you gonna typecast Alabama fans?
Listen, they're not the ones with the machetes, all right.
let's be fair. There are Seminole fans looking to chop buildings.
That's true. Chop buildings and challenge entire. By the way, wasn't that in the parking lot of, I believe, a TGI Fridays?
No, it was like a Wingstop or something.
Yeah, we need to verify this quickly. Research. We need to go ahead and get on this because we need to know, because if it was in one of the restaurants that we have discussed as being,
I've got it. It was the End Zone Bar and Grill, which is essentially a John Boy's restaurant.
So that's definitely not a place to eat alone, because if you do, you will be assaulted by a Florida State fan.
Can I mention this, by the way? This was in Gainesville. This wasn't even in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
This was in some horrendous, by the way, the End Zone Bar and Grill. Oh man. That's a terrible establishment. I'm just looking at it. This is an establishment that I bet you has never passed a health code or health inspection without serious cajoling from the pocketbook. This is not, and I don't think I've ever eaten here, but I think I ate at its predecessor, and it was they're pretty much the same thing. It's bad. So now that this has happened, by the way, which I will also state, totally unequivocally, pretty much the best game I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's hard to overstate and not sound like we're just saying things to say things. But that was the most amazing sports thing I've ever seen. Might be the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
And we have kids.
Yeah,
I don't have kids. No.
So you can say that without any shame at all.
So yeah. So this is the peak. Great. Yeah,
I might say that it was in my top. How's this? This is why I'm still married. It was in my top five events.
Great. Yeah. I like that you went five just because you're not sure how many kids you have.
Yeah. Well, you definitely have multiple, so I can say top two.
Well, you got to leave one in there for some event with your wife.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Three.
That's it. Oh, When I Met You. There we go.
I mean, amazing, not in terms of greatness, just amazing in terms of
staggering
amazement.
And
literally amazing.
And the other thing about the game that was absolutely just stunning to me was how boss Alabama got, like how beaten they were at the point of attack. I haven't, because if you remember A&M just caught breaks when they beat them in 2012. They really did. I mean, Johnny Manziel did a great job. That offense was vicious. They counterpunched great. But they got a turnover at, like, you know, they got an end zone turnover out of Alabama. They had, a slightly better offensive line at the time that's, you know, just got enough blocks. This was just Auburn's front four whipping Alabama's offensive line's ass. Which, when was the last time you remember that happening and the coach was not Shula or it wasn't like Saban year one?
Yeah, I think at times that was happening. I mean, Bama finished with about 100 more total yards on the game.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like it was.
But in short,
I think Auburn dominated when it needed to.
They missed all of those field goals. All of those field goals come from botched short yardage.
True. True.
Third and two, third and one, fourth and one. They miss all of those and have to settle for Cade Foster, who has maybe the worst night a kicker's had since what? Colt David? I believe that was LSU. Was it Colt David, LSU's kicker, who missed like five field goals against Oregon State? Yeah.
There was last year the Penn State fella missed about 30, it seemed like. But yeah, this is about as bad as it gets.
I throw Kyle Brotzman in that as well.
No, poor Kyle Brotzman.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
That and, like Kyle Brotzman, instant death threats.
Instant.
Ooh, that's boy. My favorite, is that, you know, death threats for a quarterback really aren't common. Kickers, man, people must be just living to murder kickers. Like, just, that must be deep in the dark heart of humanity. People really just want to murder someone who kicks a ball.
It's because the kicker is the one person that the fan recognizes is most like them. Like, doesn't really play most of the game, can't necessarily do most of the things the rest of the football players do. And so it's really just all self-loathing, bubbling up in the form of a death threat.
The thing we really need to realize is that on three of those four missed field goals, I believe the holder was A.J. McCarron. On the last one, it was the punter, but I believe on the first three, it was A.J. McCarron.
Why is A.J. McCarron scared to be out there for the last one? And, you know, maybe he could have made that tackle.
He would have obliterated Chris Davis with his strength.
That could have been a Heisman moment. Get out of here, A.J.
He squats 600 pounds. He could have jumped like the Hulk.
Yeah, and just stepped on him.
That would have been weird.
Yeah, that's probably
a flag.
That's easy. Jumping like the Hulk. Here to explain it is Jay Stritchers, a.k.a. Glasses Ref from the Pac-12.
Stomping on a person. 15
Marvel
yards.
Comics is a large corporation.
I think we need to take requests for how to explain things like Jay Stritchers. Just anything, right? Like photosynthesis. Beginning with the basic cell. Has no control over the sound of his.
The mitochondrion is the power source of the cell.
Mito, which is from the Greek.
But of course, like pointing the wrong way. Like there's a diagram behind him.
And he's pointing.
He's pointing at you.
His microphone's not on.
I enjoy how much people dislike him because the minute he turns on a mic, I get so happy. Like he and Ron Cherry. Keep in mind, bad officiating just really confirms everything I believe about the world anyway, that the people who are reading the rule book are, you know, sort of brain damaged and unable to really properly intimidate or properly interpret or figure out what's going on. Just, you know, amazement in all directions. It's everything I want to believe about the universe. By the way, this happened at the end of like probably the greatest sustained stretch of games I can remember on a single Saturday. You know, somebody mentioned, oh, October 15th. I think it was John Walters mentioned, oh, it was, you know, October 15th, 2005, which was the Bush push, which, please be honest, in retrospect, the Bush push is just not really that spectacular a play.
It was kind of a one gentleman leaning on another.
Yeah. Which is, you know.
And it happened in Indiana.
Yeah, exactly. It was a college football story that happened in Indiana. So we're just going to kind of rule it out from the start as being all that important. Also, like, listed on there is the LSU-Florida game. Like, oh, a dramatic win. And Florida had no chance. Like, that game was just an anaconda the whole time, if you remember it. Florida was struggling so badly. That was the game where Chris Leak was so bad it made Urban Meyer cry afterwards. So, not really your best comparison for that kind of game. Also, somebody mentioned some day in 1924. Okay.
That day kicked ass.
Everything was exciting.
Twitter was going crazy.
Yeah. There was a game where they threw like 15 passes. It was amazing. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And oh, the African-American players that day. So many, like four of
them. We're completely not playing at all.
That's how.
So therefore, everyone was slow.
Yeah, it's my favorite college football historical day. Oh, this 1950s. I'm like, yeah, sure. let's even think about that. Like it's the same sport when, like, you know, a third of the eligible people, you know, can't even play. There are entire parts of the nation where they can't go.
Our boys went to war. Everything was perfect.
It was great. Notre Dame was really good.
Fertility was on the rise.
That Saturday was really good.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure. I can't make any argument against you calling out a 1924 game. Okay, awesome. Yeah, you know stuff. You know, you're the record store clerk of college football.
You are quite the contrarian.
Quite the contrarian picking that 1924 spot. I have no hesitation saying that, by the way. You're like, the past sucks.
That's why we don't live there anymore. Roll Tide.
Just left it behind. The past
sucks. I'll tell you what, this damn last weekend of college football, horrible. Sucked. I'm glad we're over it.
Yeah, geez.
Wasn't entertaining at all. Looking forward to the next week. We got the MAC championship.
Exactly, man. Who wants to live there when you've got Bedlam coming up? Anything else from the past weekend? Ohio State, Michigan was obviously fantastic. I'm not actually going to sort of retroactively critique Brady Hoke for going for the win. Because I honestly don't know what goes on in that man's head. I don't mean that like, oh, hey, I don't know what he's thinking. No, even if I had a TV, I think, you know, that went straight into his brain, I would be mystified by the things happening inside.
You mean they scored the touchdown, then he assembled the team, and he's just like, sprinkles! And that's it.
What do you guys want to do?
That is what happened, by the way. He pulled the seniors, and they all wanted to go for it, so they did.
Who's your favorite X-Man?
That to me, though, I mean, that is cool. I have no problem with that. If the seniors want to go for it, that's fine. Because then you can blame them.
Well, hey, they don't have too much of a pie out, so...
People have this, like, very sentimental, oh, man, that's, you know, that's great. You know, you let the seniors decide, you know? Yeah, guess who you can blame now? They're gone.
Apparently they shouldn't coach the team next year. They should probably let me do it. I'm going to make all the decisions now.
I can't even. The Brady Hoke voice is so hard to sustain.
Brady Hoke's the decider.
Because it creeps me out.
Yeah, it only lasts for about half a sentence. You got to do short bursts.
Deep breath. High voice. I also would like to mention this. Like, it was a day that was so filled that I got to the end and it was like, oh man, Wisconsin lost to Penn State.
Yeah, that's weird.
How the hell?
There's Georgia Tech's up by 20 on Georgia. You know, like I got Georgia Tech fans texting me like, oh, this is great. And then like by the end, it's like, how'd that turn out? That's weird. Things reverted.
Man, y'all haven't said anything in a while. That was it. Hudson.
Been quiet.
Yeah, well, hey, how'd Hudson Mason do? Heard you had him on the ropes. How'd that go, man?
did he withstand the tent roof assault or what?
Yeah, how'd that go, man? So this is finished. Like we finished up rivalry week. We're now going to championship week. We are also, by the way, going through the coaching carousel.
Not much of a carousel so far.
More of a, it's really more of a portable rock wall available for children's events.
It's like the swing ride, you know, the big, it's just a big spinning swing.
And Ed Orgeron looked backwards. Now he's puking everywhere.
Oh! I'm not really, I'm not happy about that. And I don't know if USC fans are really, truly happy about that. I'm not happy about it because that was a fun ride, and I understand that nothing gold can stay, and that Ed Orgeron was good because he was, you know, he was the new dad.
Yeah, but Ed Orgeron at Wake Forest?
do not like
that possibility?
You know, the struggle will be real and spectacular if he goes to Wake Forest.
Well, here's the thing. He'll go there, and then he'll lose, like, 9 games a year. He'll get fired. He'll go back to being a defensive line coach. He'll end up, you know, the defensive line coach at Alabama. And then one day he'll be the interim head coach at Alabama. Get to start this all over again.
When Nick Saban's fired for only winning 8 games?
for only winning 11 games.
Yeah. Sorry, we got standards here. That's why we're going to hire somebody who coach with the Bear. Come on down, Mike DeBose. All's forgiven. They hire Mike Riley from Oregon State. He's the nicest guy. That's what I can't wait for. I can't wait for them to hire Mike Riley and, you know, be like, man, how can we fire a man that good? Like, just like this? Wow. Wow. Put you on your ass.
I think they fire him on the first day to send a message.
we're not going to tolerate mediocrity.
Uh-oh, it's not nice ball. It's football.
I haven't even coached a game yet.
I haven't even done anything.
That sounds pretty mediocre, don't it?
It's February.
I would also mention this, by the way, that we're now looking at South Carolina being out, which is a real shame because they finished the season, as they usually do, by beating Clemson. And by doing it in the fashion in which Steve Spurrier is accustomed to, i.e. the most painful possible way, with Clemson turning the ball over on, I think, their last 4 possessions in a row.
Also having a wide receiver throw the winning touchdown for no reason I'm aware of.
I like the South Carolina Clemson game because every year it feels like they show up and Davos, when he's like, all right, this is the year we're going to, and then Spurrier's like, hey, your dick's out, and then punches him in the solar plexus.
Yeah, and that's actually a very good way to describe what happened, because it was painful. It looked like, I normally take Lee and Spurrier burning people down, and I still did, but I admit that theoretically it would be painful if you had feelings and a soul to watch what happened to poor Clemson. But hey, another Peach Bowl, another Chick-fil-A Bowl.
Or some such, yeah. My favorite thing about that game is Bill Connelly wrote about how Taj Boyd takes way too many sacks against South Carolina for whatever reason. And while we were looking through for a photo for that story, every photo was of Taj Boyd being sacked. So there you go. That's in the haze after the Iron Bowl, I didn't really remember much of what happened in Clemson, South Carolina. So it was nice to get that reminder that apparently all that happened was Taj Boyd just got beaten up the whole game.
Hey, if you don't want to get sacked, don't be so fluffy and delicious, Taj Boyd.
It's more he's huggable than sackable.
I want to cuddle. And men have needs too. Sometimes
just the kind of guy you'd like to land on.
Sometimes you just need to cozy up to something warm and understanding, like the Zaptig, the Lane Bryant quarterback of the year.
This is my favorite totally unnecessary storyline. Taj Boyd is like 5 pounds overweight, so therefore.
He's
Santa Claus.
Hey, listen, it's all about just Taj Boyd going on his sleigh, which in South Carolina, it's a sleigh driven by flying pit bulls. Right?
Bruce stars in Taj.
Merry Christmas. Can Taj Boyd get Dabo's kids toys by noon? Oh, man. Well, the championship game. By the way, do we have any reviews on coaches? I'm just kind of like, Sarkisian, I have no idea. I have no clue how that's going to go or what to make of anything happening there. None.
Yeah, it's just Kiffin without a chin, as far as I'm aware. Like Sarkisian, the thing that always bothered me about him, he's a fine coach, you know, very smart man, whatever. But, like, he makes this face where he draws his head back into his neck and like his chin disappears and he has like this permanent 5 o'clock shadow and all you see is just like it's not even a neck beard. It's like his whole face is a neck beard. And that bothers me about him.
You're really what? That's like a Tim and Eric kind of face, right? Like
what I like is
it looks like that noise sounds.
What I like is that Washington fans were really kind of happy to be rid of Sark. But I think they were all assuming they were going to get Jim Mora. And now it's sort of like, oh, fuck, just call Skip Holtz. Whatever. Screw it.
Yeah, let's very quickly before we do this, I want to come up with our nightmare candidates for that job. Because there's nothing more pleasant and pleasurable than picking the worst possible people for a job and really scaring the crap out of somebody. So
yeah. All right. I got dibs then. Boom.
Go ahead.
Skip Holtz it is.
Yeah. You already laid that card down. I don't know how we're going to top that one. I mean, there's also the crop of recently fired. So, I mean, Paul Pasqualani would top that list. I'd reckon.
I have my what I believe to be the most diabolical and symmetrical suggestion. There's a nice symmetry to this, and I think you know where I'm going already, which is Lane Kiffin.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know.
So just swap.
Just trade him out. Like, I don't know, guys. Here, let's move this couch over here.
What would be great about that is inevitably Kiffin would show up to a game and he hadn't done his laundry, so he'd be wearing a USC shirt. Exactly. Just be like, somebody get some tape.
Maybe they would dye it. Before, so it was a purple shirt, but it was...
If by die you mean he'd just, like, spill a Slurpee all over it.
Yeah,
well, the thing about Kiffin is he would go, like, 6-6 one year and somehow vault into the USC job.
Yeah. Just,
that's his career pattern.
They could just keep ping-ponging. We could cover the entire West Coast with former Pete Carroll staff members. Delightful. With Pete Carroll as, like, the pro-style godfather ruling from on high in Seattle. This is a Game of Thrones feel to it. I kind of like it, actually.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, no, there we go. I will also put one other nightmare candidate in there, which I assume we haven't mentioned this yet. How has nobody made this joke yet? That these are people in need of help.
Yeah.
And, that, as in heaven.
Yeah.
And if one said it. And that we all speak a universal language, which is that of love.
Hang on, let me see if anybody's made that joke.
Let's see. Has anyone made?
Houston, oh, wow. Only two people. Jarkar01 and HogWild with a Y and an E on Twitter have used the words Houston Nut, Washington.
Are you sure HogWild isn't Houston Nut?
Yeah, I think we can discount. I think we can just.
Okay, so only.
Discount him.
Only Jared
that
Carter.
That is Houston
a
Nut.
A day ago. And they were both Arkansas fans, I believe.
because they want somebody else to feel that burn. Arkansas fans are
they just
so
want to make good and damn sure he's off the market.
Like the Houston Nut for Everything meme, no one loves that more than Arkansas fans. Ole Miss fans, still a little freshly scarred from it. But Arkansas fans are like, oh no, we want you to get that stink on you.
There's got to be a segment of the Arkansas fan base that's kind of like, we could take him back. It could work.
Just keep him. They're like, well, maybe we should have him as kind of like an overcoach who, you know, just kind of molds and shapes Bielema, you know?
You know, we just get him on Sundays and every other Thanksgiving.
It's a program under visitation. God, that's the saddest proposition ever. Championship weekend. I could talk about Houston enough for hours, but I think it's time we get to championship weekend. You know, we could talk about the SEC first, but I don't think that Jason Kirk's love for Sparty can wait.
Yeah, let me add him.
I actually think this is like a really, really awesome game. I think this will be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a really good matchup for both teams. It'll be the kind of the perfect matchup for both of them. Really,
am I the only one kind of confused by Michigan State though?
No,
because they like sometimes they can just beat up on a weak opponent. Like they beat Illinois by 39 points, but they only beat Purdue by 14-0.
Well, the thing about that is once they have say 3 points.
or two.
If they could figure out how to score 0.5 points.
If you advance them in a laboratory setting, if you advance them the theoretical value of a half point,
right,
the program still engages the same protocol.
So Michigan State exists on the pH scale somewhere.
They're like this automatic machine, right? Like the doomsday machine. If you attack them, they have the same response every time. Which is
it's like that thing about how if you keep going halfway towards something, you'll never get there.
Okay, yeah.
But points wise,
right?
Yeah, they're this interesting theoretical study because it scores kind of irrelevant to them, right? Like they're really kind of what like Will Muschamp's bullshit approach says it's about, right? Like you know, we're not big on numbers. No, seriously, Michigan State's not big on numbers at all. They're like, what is that, greater or less than the number of points we have? That's really the only question they ask.
They should take that to the extreme and just dismantle the scoreboard in the stadium. Be like, we don't care. We're just here to ruin your day.
That's all they're there for.
Yeah,
I shit on your car.
That's
it. Care what the score is.
That's it. And I say this, by the way, as somebody who, you know, I find this style of football excruciating. I kind of like when Michigan State does it because the trolling is impersonal to me. I don't care who wins. I just want to watch Mark D'Antonio ruin someone's life.
Yeah, and you know, he has the rep of the stoic, joyless statue guy, but he really does take this kind of like sick, jokerish glee in playing this hideous football. And I think that's what most attracted me to this team is like, you know, it's easy to find photos of him making this like demonic smile while watching what his football team produces.
Oh yeah, no, he knows. That's the greatest. Yeah,
that's probably the best way to explain it.
And interspersed.
He knows.
By the way, to complete that metaphor, he intersperses a shocking amount of trick plays on special teams. Like, seems to enjoy it. Like, oh yeah, you motherfuckers aren't awake. Watch this shit. Yeah, who's boring now?
So it's like he bludgeons you to death with a hammer and then draws a dick on your forehead.
Yeah, it's basically kind of like putting the clown nose on your dead corpse, right? Like, you like that joke, did you? That's Mark D'Antonio. Classic Midwestern serial killer. By the way, in case you don't think the SEC fixes in here to get Alabama back in, sleeper agent, where did Mark D'Antonio play college football? Don't look it up.
Prison. I don't know.
South Carolina.
Shit.
Also, from whence did Nick Saban arrive to the SEC?
Michigan State, sir. Well, I'm sorry. Yes. To LSU. Yes.
Yeah.
Michigan State.
Right.
So it's all part of a pattern. You just need
I'm just going to say it's interesting.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm just going to put that out there. And
I'm not going to say it's definitive. I'm just going to say that's really something.
InfoWars. Info sports.
Why has anybody started that?
Oh, with Denny Mayo started it. So
okay, good.
We have to credit him. He's the first person I saw who typed info sports. it's his concept. We have to pay him for it. The other games of note: Bedlam, Oklahoma State, really Oklahoma State, probably out of any kind of serious title consideration of any sort, but could end very, very strong against an extremely beatable Oklahoma team. If you want to watch Clint Shelf, whatever you call him, play, he's probably playing some of the best quarterback in the nation right now. So something totally worth watching. Oh, yeah, SEC championship game. Auburn-Mizzou, as foretold by everyone. Wish they'd stop putting the most obvious teams in this game.
Yeah, God. All summer long, all we heard, Mizzou, Auburn.
I am excited about Will Muschamp getting asked at Media Days next year how he thinks his team is going to handle joining the SEC this year.
I'll ask it. I don't care. He'll be like, what kind of question is that? And I'll be like, I hate you. Shut up.
Do you want to fight?
Yeah, that's it. You want to fight? Hey, everyone can have an opinion. You can't. You're a moron.
You can say whatever you want about me. I don't want to say anything to you.
I don't want you to exist. It's not that I don't want bad things to happen to you. I just want you to go away.
What are you doing? I just want you to never have been born.
That's it. Exactly. Coach Muschamp, Do you think if I had a time machine and I erased you, would you hold a grudge? I mean, I'm not... Just sit there with, like, some cardboard thing, like, some cheap cardboard thing that you rigged up and misspelled time machine on and ask him that, right? Hey, that's not a time machine next to me, but I'm just asking theoretically.
I'd really like to see that. Like, ask him a riddle so complicated that, like, he just disappears. Like, if you ask him, like... Coach Muschamp, what do you think about that new Rihanna song? You know, that's kind of an easy one because they'll just say, I've never heard of no Rihanna.
But something that's like, what never weeps but is always crying.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You wouldn't have to, by the way, that wouldn't have to be that complex a question to blow his mind.
All you have to do is hand him a copy of The Feminine Mystique and he'll just start dissolving.
Coach Muschamp, female orgasm. Just dissolves.
And then your head coach, Joker Phillips.
Hey.
Man, you know, we can do magic together if we just work hard enough with enough focus. Just with enough effort, no matter how dumb the idea is. That's Will Muschamp football right there. Other games, by the way, let's not forget this, Memphis and UConn play.
Never forget that.
Any other notable games? We got the ACC championship game. Oh, son.
Yeah.
Wasn't
this also the ACC basketball championship? Wasn't it Duke FSU?
I don't know.
Does anyone here know?
No, nobody cares.
No, that's nobody cares.
I seem to recall Florida State being good at basketball.
That's the part of the year that involves a lot of tears and yard work. So
when does basketball happen?
I don't know. Nobody knows.
Okay.
It happens in March. That's when the season starts. It's only a month long.
Very short season. Very exciting season.
It's short and intense.
Long preseason. I
will point out that as we've been talking about for about 3 months now, Todd Graham is now 60 minutes away from the Rose Bowl.
as intended, the most noble of all, Jim Delaney. Todd Graham is going to be caressing that trophy of yours. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, and not just the Rose Bowl, but like the 100th Rose Bowl. Super special Rose Bowl, and this jerk-ass from Pittsburgh with a microphone in his face is going to win it.
That's the best word for Todd Graham ever is jerk-ass. That's this jerk-ass.
Do you realize how close we came to Arizona State having like a very compelling case to be in the national title game over one of the undefeated teams?
We came, damn close.
Because if they beat Notre Dame, they're going to rematch against Stanford, which in theory kind of cancels out the previous loss. And, oh my God, Todd Graham stumping for a spot over Ohio State. God, I just want to spread it on toast.
If you're a Notre Dame fan, by the way, listening to this podcast, which you won't because you would have been appalled several episodes ago. This is just indecent. I'm going to go listen to...
They said negative things about Arby's. I want a refund.
I'm gonna go listen to Prairie Home Companion. They're a little socialist, but you know, it's just the melodious voice of Garrison Keillor that I can't stop listening to. If you are a Notre Dame fan, you are probably like half a human being, just barely impersonating being a human. A lizard walking among us. But you also took great joy in seriously ruining two seasons.
Yeah.
You did, because remember, you beat Michigan State.
You did.
Only loss on the year. This would have had the Big Ten game would have had national title implications two ways if that were the case. But you beat Michigan State. You out Michigan Stated Michigan State 17-13. Congratulations on ruining their year. Additionally, you saddled Arizona State with another loss in a 37-34 final. And finally, you managed to well, that's really it. But
that's all you did.
But way to go! That's
you lost to Pitt. That's fun.
See, what's more fun than losing to Pitt? Don't answer that question.
You lost to Michigan. Heck, Akron did that.
Did they? I remember differently.
It was really close. I feel like every week we need to clarify who actually won that game.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Just like the UConn-Michigan game. You're like, yes, UConn lost. I know it doesn't feel that way, but they did. Finally, I would look at MAC championship game is a hot one, man. NIU Bowling Green. That is, and it's on Friday, I believe.
Awesome. It is. And it's actually an interesting matchup. You have, you know, maybe the most exciting quarterback the conference has ever produced against, like, a pretty actually good defense. So that's a good game.
A superb defense. I would point out, we got Jan. That's really it. There's absolutely nothing else that we got.
There's a Louisville's playing. Does anyone remember Louisville?
That is a game.
They have literally nothing to play for.
That is a thing.
They're on the. We can watch them. It won't matter at all what happens, because if they win, if Louisville beats Cincinnati, then UCF wins the American. So there's just literally nothing for Louisville. They're locked into their bowl. There's
just remember BCS notables UCF. When you look back on 2013 and wonder what kind of evil seized hold of the game, that.
Yeah.
That's it. That's good.
Okay.
We can totally stop there.
I'm just ride out on UCF. Now I'm all bummed.